name is Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are Bigfoot, the gentle creature of the night with huge feet.
Mysterious beast of the woods with big dogs.
Chilly monster of the mountains with icy balls.
And a hairy ape man behind a microphone. Brr. Feed me. Brr. We are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. With the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group, the founders, George Clappison and Jody Cook. And we were talking a little bit earlier about evidence. What do you think, either one of you, George or Jody, what is the most convincing or compelling evidence of the hairy man or the grass man's existence that you've seen? Is it a sighting that you've talked to the witness? Is it a print you've seen? Is it, I don't know, the squat or whatever?
I would have to say probably the hair.
You found hair?
We found hair. We have hair samples that are right now in Japan being time. That's really about the only thing we, you know, that I think anybody has it as far as actual proof. Because, you know, a lot of these hair samples will come back as of an unknown origin. You know, and it's quite baffling because it will show some traits of human. It may so show some traits of ape or, you know, other type of primate. But like I said, I would have to say at this point, you know, yeah, you have the sightings too. It would definitely have to be the hair.
One of the things that convinced me was, you know, I had read a lot of stories about this, and one of the things that got me involved in going out into the field and investigating these sightings was I wanted to know for myself. I wanted to know if people were making this up, if it was all hoax. And, you know, when you're sitting in someone's home, maybe with their son or daughter, and you see tears well up in their eyes as you're questioning them, and you hear their voices quiver as they tell you what they saw.
You browbeat them? You got the rubber hoses out? Why are they crying? You got the hot light on them?
This is a pretty dramatic experience for most people, and they don't know what they've seen. And I really don't walk in and tell them they've seen Bigfoot. I tell them it sounds similar to other reports that have been called Bigfoot. What has convinced me personally is my experiences in the field at night out looking for Bigfoot. I've had 18-inch trees knocked down within 50 feet of me at nighttime. I've been in the woods, and when I shine my light around, I get the eye glows, you know, 10, 12 feet off the ground. I was in an area where it was prime hunting area, and for all summer last year, I saw no deer. No raccoons, no skunks, no squirrels. There were no mammals in the area.
Who we got on the phone now, Chris?
Mark Carson is standing by. Mark Carson is lives in Madisonville. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Did you see Bigfoot in Madisonville?
Yes, I did.
Are you sure it wasn't just one of those crazy teenagers over at the Brickyard?
No, not at all. Not unless they were 8 feet tall.
Tall? Well, maybe it was one of those guys that plays for UC. You know, those guys are all criminals.
Oh, I don't think so.
So tell us about your Bigfoot sighting. When did it happen, Mark?
Back in the fall of 1992, me and three of my friends were going to go stargazing. And so we were walking through the woods to get to the field where we were going to stargaze. We got the feeling that there was something around us.
Are there woods in Madisonville that are appropriate for stargazing? That seems like a very urban area to me.
Well, where I live, it's kind of outside of town of Madisonville. And it's, you know, pretty much rural.
Okay.
So me and my three buddies, who have spent a lot of time growing up on that hill, were up there, and we heard a noise. It sounded kind of like a footstep. And, you know, we were kind of alerted, but wouldn't be shocked to find people up there because there are children that go up there and camp and stuff in the summertime and in the fall. The thing that really alerted us, we had crossed over a piece of fence that was laying across a creek, and at one point we heard something step on that, and it was a very loud impact in the step, and it sounded like someone had pulled himself up the other side of the creek, and we're talking about maybe 15-foot creek banks. So we got a little nervous at that point, and we were looking behind us where the fence noise had come, and I'd say about 5 minutes later, directly in front of us, we heard a kind of a moaning noise. and it was very distinct. It was very close. It was so close, in fact, that it echoed off the hill, and we thought there was another one behind us. But you could hear the Bigfoot, if you will, moaning like it was turning its head, and then it would move to behind another tree, do it again, and so on. And it got to one point where I guess it decided we had been there too long, and we were frozen to the spot. And
you were mesmerized?
Pretty much. It's the most afraid I've ever been in my life.
You know, that's something that every one of the we've talked to, what, three or four eyewitness reports tonight now? And every one of these seem to have in common that when they saw this thing, they were just immobilized. They were frozen. They were hypnotized, like looking in the eyes of a snake, or almost like, you know, ancient Greek mythology. When you see the snake hair of Medusa, you're just frozen.
Absolutely. I could not move a muscle.
George Clappison, what do you make of that?
Well, that's a good question. That's a very common theme that's reported in these sightings, and it's hard to put your finger on exactly what it is this person is experiencing.
Are there mystical properties to Sasquatch?
Many of the reports do contain what could be termed as paranormal aspects. Disappearances, a trail of prints that end in the middle of a snow-covered field with nowhere to go. Mental telepathy. There's a number of odd occurrences that seem to be associated with Bigfoot sightings.
Well, that's a question I was going to ask you a little later in tonight's show, but I'll ask you now. Do you think that Bigfoot is the mutant spawn of an ill-fated mating between extraterrestrials and Homo sapiens? And if so, is Bigfoot psychic?
Well, I had understood that Bigfoot was with Debbie Gibson, but as far as being the spawn of anything evil, I don't think Bigfoot is any more
evil. Not necessarily evil, but of extraterrestrial origin.
Well, aren't we all of extraterrestrial origin, ultimately?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, current theories of where life got started right here on Earth is in the bubbling magma underneath the seas, and then right here on Earth, and they got that whole asteroid from Mars scenario, but I don't buy into that. But I've heard Bigfoot people saying that these things come from UFOs, and that sometimes there are UFO reports in conjunction with Bigfoot sightings. Do you think there's any credence to that?
I think that's a bunch of crock. You know, I don't see any, you know, any connection between Bigfoot and, you know, UFOs. A lot of people think, you know, possibly that, you know, I mean, that when you look at the two phenomenons, you know, that you know, UFOs and aliens are a little bit more, I guess, believable, you know, than the Bigfoot aspect. But me personally, I don't think there's any connection there whatsoever. And and if there is, and if they come in trying to get the most intelligent being, you know, they're probably picking the right thing because, you know,
From the reading I've done on the subject, there is a correlation with UFOs. They have been actually sighted coming out of craft and in craft. Of course, you have to take a lot of those reports with a grain of salt. What I have noticed in this area that there are Bigfoot sightings in areas where UFO sightings happen. Now, I haven't seen any direct connection between the two, except that they happen in about the same area and about the same time.
Phone lines are now open at the Chris and Rob Sunshine Power Hour, 749-1444. We weren't done talking with Mark, but he bailed, and I guess that's his prerogative. We're joined tonight, as I said, with the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group, George Clappison and Jody Cook, who brought with them recordings, supposed recordings, of the sounds that Bigfoot makes. And Mark was just telling us while he was out in the woods, he heard Bigfoot moaning or screeching or something. Where did you get this tape and what's on it? And then we'll play it here in a second.
This tape is compiled from different researchers in the state of Ohio. They were given to me as basically research material to compare. I was hoping to maybe play these through loudspeakers while out in the field at nighttime. That hasn't happened yet.
But to see if they would like be mating calls, or maybe they would draw other Bigfoots?
Yeah, or the dinner bell, or who knows what they mean.
And is it Bigfoots or Big Feet? More than one Bigfoot.
Yeah, what's the plural of Sasquatch?
Sasquatch.
Well, so what's the plural of Sasquatch? Would it be Sasquatches or just Sasquatch?
Sasquatch.
Okay. So
like deer.
One Sasquatch, 10 Sasquatch.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Well, let's play this tape here. This is the sound that George gave us of a Bigfoot in the woods.
It's safety. Stay slow.
You made a tape loop out of this, I take it.
Yes.
It sounds like dogs. I hear the dogs, but I also hear this, what's that?
Okay, this was an area that was staked out by a guy named Matt Moneymaker about 3 years ago. And what he would do is he would go out into the woods and set up parabolic microphones and infrared cameras in hopes of catching some of this. And he told me that you could sit on certain hillsides and hear these things calling to each other from the different ridges. And this is the sound he had given me.
It's just this one little bit loop. Do you have any more than this?
No, and actually this was the sound that you could hear on the Sightings TV show when that aired back in 96.
Well, here you have it, a Chris and Rob exclusive, except for the Sightings show. Bigfoot, recorded live. Hey, don't play games with your eyes. Wear eye protectors while playing a sport and reduce the risk of serious injury. For the facts, call Prevent Blindness Ohio at 1-614-464-2020. And you can call the Friars Club at 381-5432 if you are a person who likes to coach. You will provide coaching skills to young people for a year-round basketball program. That number again is 381-5432. And a programming note, make sure you keep your radio tuned to 88.3 FM this Saturday, October 4th. It's the first time ever on radio, live from Found Square, the 8th Hemp Rally. You can attend the rally from noon to 6 p.m. this Saturday, or catch it live on 88.3 FM WAIF from noon to 3. And look for more information about the cool party happening after the rally this Saturday, October 4th. It's the big Hemp Rally on Found Square, broadcast live on WAIF. This, meanwhile, is Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show with Jody and George from the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group. We're doing a little audio samples, and we got something else, Chris. Yeah, what is this we're going to hear next?
This is a sound that was recorded while a guy slept in his van. He was out hunting Bigfoot, and he had fallen asleep, so he left his tape recorders running. And
when he said he had it,
when he woke up, this is what was on the tape.
Okay, it's being queued up. It's being queued up right now.
Now, this particular piece has been analyzed by professors at Kent State, and the only thing that they could really analyze on this is that the sound was made by something at least 6 feet tall.
Let's hear a piano.
We need to rewind.
Jim, cue this up. Hello,
how you doing?
Hello, David, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you guys?
Fabulous, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I wanted to ask the two gentlemen tonight if they've seen a television commercial that's running currently that shows a likeness of Bigfoot basically pulling a pizza out of a refrigerator and putting it in an oven in the woods, and to ask if they find that offensive.
Yeah, I saw the TV commercial.
What is it, for like one of the big pizza chains?
Yeah, they have the video look like the famous Patterson photo.
Right, and then, then you see
and it
the
turns out Bigfoot's making a frozen pizza, like a tombstone.
The one I liked was the one that had the Bigfoot coming in and snatching the remote control and running back out.
I didn't see that. So that one was more tasteful?
Yeah, that was a few years back.
What it was, it was one of these advertisements for a, if you lost your TV remote, you can sit there and press a little device and it tells you where it is, and it shows where, you know, the child hit it, or, you know, Bigfoot ran out from the car, from the curtain and grabbed it, and, you know, just odds and things. But no, that commercial, I didn't see it. I know which one you're talking about, because when I was in British Columbia on a Bigfoot conference about 2 months ago, they were talking about that particular commercial because they had to get the rights through Rene DeHinden, who owns the rights to the Patterson film. And there's a big bear company up there called, I think it's Kokomo's, where they did a couple things, you know, dealing with Bigfoot and, you know, Nessie and so forth. But no, I don't find it offensive. I think it shows interest. But if you sit there and look, you know, when the movie Independence Day came out, there was, what, 26 commercials dealing with aliens, you know, all the way from, you know, gym shoes to pizza and so forth. So, you know, it gives us some credibility.
Great. Thanks for your time tonight.
Right, David, have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No, no, not other than on the television set.
Okay.
I look for them frequently, but no, I'm not lucky enough yet.
All right, thanks for your call, David.
Thank you.
Call again soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Chris and Rob, Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444. You mentioned earlier that there is a simple mathematic formula that you can do by studying the size of a foot, multiply by 5.5, I believe you said, and that'll give you the height of the primate, if it's a primate.
That particular number is specific to Bigfoots and is related to Bigfoot sightings where tracks were found.
Okay, well, so what's the average height of most Bigfoot, as extrapolated by this formula? What's the average height of Bigfoot? You've mentioned 8 feet before. Is that generally what they clock in at, is about 8 feet
tall?
I would
say 8 or 9 feet, and I would assume that to be a male.
Female smaller?
Yes.
Yeah. In British Columbia, they've been known up in the mountains up there to be what they call true, the Indians up there call them true giants, and they believe that they're about 12 feet. And, you know, the Indians tribe in that area won't even go up in the mountains because their legend goes all the way back to where these things would, you know, would are cannibals, and they would come down and take their squaws and their warriors and stuff, and, you know, and eat them. And, you know, whenever people go out in the area, in this one particular area, they say, you know, we'll take us up in the mountains there, and the Indian, you know, will say, no, you know, we're not going to go no further than this. And it's real strong to them.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, joined by the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group. We have queued up that tape again, briefly, real quick, recap. What is this we're going to hear?
You're going to hear a sound that was recorded on a tape recorder that was left out all night. You hear a couple of bumps. Allegedly, that's the Bigfoot bumping around in an area that was kind of like a junkyard. And then there's some vocalizations that sound almost like a language.
Here we go. This is Bigfoot live on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Or on tape.
They're too busy listening to those myths in this.
This sounds like somebody who's taking too many drugs. I think you got hoodwinked with this one. I bet if you play it backwards, it says Paul is dead or cranberry sauce or something.
I thought maybe it might have said something about the Beatles, but...
That's an old Jewish guy. Who are you fooling with that one? Chris and Rob Lane and I talking about Bigfoot. My name is Chris. His name is Rob. We have George and Jody from the Bigfoot Research and Study Group. And on the phone, well, who's up next? Marge?
No, Madge.
Madge?
Madge, not Marge.
What's on your mind, Madge?
Well, how come we never found any fossils from them Bigfoot?
Well,
any fossils?
Well, here's the thing. The way I look at it, you know, hypothetically, let's say, you know, myself or George or whomever's out and we run across a skeletal remains. Well, we get the thing in and we show some proof that, you know, this thing exists. And, you know, and then most likely what's going to happen is some old timer from the Smithsonian Institute is going to say, oh, yeah, this looks familiar to something that we have down in the, you know, crate sitting in one of these sheds here that, you know, we found, you know, 30, 40 years ago. You know, that's the way I look at it. You know, most likely, the Smithsonian Institute somewhere probably has remains of one of these, and they don't even know it. And they think it's, you know, some type of rare gorilla or freak or something like that. That's why I look at it. But, you know, if they bury their dead, you know, I'm sure they don't have cemeteries, you know, similar to ours, but, you know, they could eat their dead, and, you know, the bones of animals, you know, like porcupine, they'll eat teeth, you know, and a lot of these little scavengers will probably take parts of the body and run different parts, you know, in different areas.
I'd like to ask Madge if he had ever found any dead deer parts.
I don't know if he has or not. Phone lines are open, 749-1444, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, talking about Bigfoot. This is not the first time that we've discussed Bigfoot and the Bigfoot enigma on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. About 2 years ago, Rob and I talked to a Bigfoot investigator named Daniel Edward Perez. Ever hear of the guy?
Yeah.
Yep.
And this guy claims
Hold on. You don't sound very enthusiastic.
Yeah,
you're
shaking your heads.
You're like, yeah, I heard of that. What, is this guy nut? Were we duped?
No. Danny's a good researcher, but, you know, you gotta understand, you know, when you look at a lot of these researchers, and they believe that, you know, they're... I don't want to get into it, but, yeah, Danny's a good guy.
So anyhow, Daniel Edward Perez goes on to tell us that in August of 1988, in New Cumberland, Ohio, as reported by the Akron Beacon Journal of September 5th of 1988, a Bigfoot was sighted that could run as fast as a horse, and that two boys saw it. And our discussion with Mr. Perez went as follows.
Where have the most recent Bigfoot sightings have been, and have there been any in our area over here in southwestern Ohio?
Yes, there have. The recent, let's see, I don't know of anything recent, but do you know of New Cumberland,
uh-huh.
Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay, in August of 1988, there was a report generated from that area, and to the best of my knowledge, there were boys that saw this thing, and they said that this thing ran, I think, approximately 30 miles per hour, and that it moved very, very fast.
And that's about as fast as a horse. Is that faster?
And that report also was published in a newspaper called the Akron Beacon Journal, September 5th of 1988.
That's a good paper.
And I should point out, too, that there is... I don't know this guy personally on a one-to-one basis, but in terms of people who are investigating in the state of Ohio, it's like a presidential election. It's just like you see all the potential candidates and you say, well...
Whatever, Danny. Do you guys know anything about the sighting in New Cumberland, Ohio from 1988?
Actually, it's newcomers, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Newcomers town.
Newcomers town, yeah. Newcomers town, Ohio. You got to take Newcomerstown, Ohio. It's a very tight-niche little town. The people have nothing else there better to do than go. There's a researcher out there named by Don Keating. He's very knowledgeable, really good guy. And he has a meeting once a month, and the town basically goes to these meetings because they have nothing else better to do, and there's nothing else that goes on up there.
Man. But what about a Bigfoot that can run as fast as a horse, 30 miles an hour or so? Can Bigfoot run that fast?
But
that is consistent with the reports I've gotten. I've talked to a father and son up on, they were out on Alum Creek Lake, just north of Columbus. They were fishing early in the morning, and they had gone out to pick up their trot lines they had set the night before. And they had cut their engine and coasted in to a small inlet where they were going to pick up their line, and the teenage boy jumped out. His feet hitting the gravel was the first sound that the boat made in that area, and about 30 feet away, a Bigfoot jumped up, startled, and took off running. And both the boy and the father watched this thing run up the hillside, and they both agreed that it was running faster than a deer.
We have another Bigfoot eyewitness on hold here. The phone number 749-1444. If you'd like to get in on this, 749-1444. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show with the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group and Angie from Hillsboro, Ohio. Hello, Angie.
Hi, sir.
You've seen Bigfoot more than once, is that true?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Well, tell us, who is Bigfoot and what's he look like?
Well, there's a couple of them, but the one I saw was in 1976. It was about 6 in the morning, just breaking daylight. I was coming off in a little slope on my road, and it was to the left. And I looked out my car window, and I saw this Bigfoot. He was whitish gray, more of a dirty white. He was walking, had his back to us, and then when we parked and looked at him, he turned around and faced us, and he had an ear of corn in his hand, and he was pulling it off and putting it in his other hand and brought it up to his mouth. And when he brought it up to his mouth, he has two fangs in front and has two fangs at the bottom. And when he pulled it up, his hand has hooks on each finger. He has five fingers, just like we do. And he has 2 to 3 inches of hair layers on his body. I couldn't tell if he was a male or female. I was more interested in watching his face. And he has a humanly looked face. And he looks more like a stout built gorilla. He's about 250 pounds, the one I saw. And he's 6'4", pretty stocky built.
Well, Angie, a couple of things you said to me are already pretty interesting. First of all, you said you saw him eating corn, but he had fangs, which to me might imply that maybe he's a carnivore and likes to eat meat.
I heard they eat deer and small animals.
And sounds like corn on the cob. But he probably didn't have that butter that you can squeeze out and put on it, which is
like
really
that.
What sets it apart from the rest.
Well, he really wasn't afraid of us. He watched us, and we watched him for a few seconds, and he continued putting the corn to his eating, you know, the corn. Then he turned to walk to the woods, which has a creek, and that was the last I saw of that Bigfoot.
You said he was a whitish color, like almost like an albino Bigfoot?
Albino, yes.
Oh, well, you know, we've been talking about some Bigfoot sightings for the last hour and a half, and we haven't even talked about what color their hair was. We're just assuming that they're brown or black.
I think there's some red ones, and partially some with gray in their face.
The red ones are probably the Irish Bigfoot. George and Jody, what do you know about the continuity of color from one Bigfoot to another? Are they, sounds like they're not always brown or black.
Well, we were just talking about a guy named Don Keating over in Newcomer's Town. He had caught some video of a white Bigfoot walking across the road. And he had a real good way of judging the height because this Bigfoot had walked by some fence posts that were like 6 feet out of the ground. And so this thing was head and shoulders above the fence post. Over here in the Madisonville area, a young one we assumed to be a juvenile was seen, was practically black. The I suppose, again, an adult that was with this individual was a brown or tannish colored with gray tips. And I took that to be a sign of age on an older one. I've heard reports of white, ash, tan, gray, red, black, brown.
Anything else to add, Angie?
No.
Wait a minute, Angie. You've seen Bigfoot more than once. You just told us about the first encounter.
Mm-hmm.
When's the next? How long was it till you saw Bigfoot again?
My children's the one who saw the Bigfoot the next time, and that was a big dark one. There's a big, almost black one that runs with this. You know, I don't know if they run together, but he's bigger than the one I saw. He's about 7'4".
Yeah, and where was he seen at, and what color was he?
He was seen around the back of the roads. They take the roads sometimes too. They take the fields, the roads, and you know, like my children was afraid of him. He was sort of chasing the car. He can run about 30 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. You weren't mesmerized or hypnotized when you saw him, were you?
No, I was just sort of stunned. I just wanted to keep on watching the one I saw, his face. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to learn more about him after this.
Any more sightings after the first two that you've told us about?
My son's girlfriend in June of 97 saw the same white one.
Oh, that's very recently then.
Yes, uh-huh.
Was the same white one somewhere near the same location?
Yes, sir, uh-huh.
Well, maybe he's been hanging in those woods.
Yeah, he does. I think he likes to watch my home, and especially when they make noise when they're out playing basketball and stuff.
You think maybe this Bigfoot is your neighbor?
Definitely.
Well, hopefully he's a good neighbor, and if he comes over for dinner, he won't leave a mess. Get drunk and trash the place.
It must be neat. He was pulling the kernels off in his hand. Seems like he's smart there, you know.
All right, Angie. Well, thanks for calling the program. Okay. Before I let you go, what do you think Bigfoot is? Do you think it's a man or an ape or something in between?
In between.
Like a caveman?
No, he's more of an animal. He's more like a gorilla, but a larger gorilla, built more taller and stockier.
Okay.
And a little bit more wiser.
All right, thanks for your time, Angie.
Mm-hmm, thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Lines are now open, 749-1444. Give us a call. Jody and George, do you think Bigfoot hibernates, or will he be active during the next few months? Do we have any information on that?
Well, from our research, we know he's active during the wintertime because we have quite a few photographs that we've taken, snow prints, and obviously they're 5-toe. I don't believe he hibernates. I think he's out pillaging for food. You know, he's no different than we are.
Does he make a nest, or does he just sleep in a tree, or does he sleep on the ground? Where do we think he sleeps?
Well, funny you mention that. We found quite a few what we called shelters, okay, that we found. One of them we found up in Akron, Ohio, was more shaped like an igloo. It was completely hollow on the inside. It was about 7 feet in length.
Yeah, like
6 feet high. So I mean,
what was it made of?
Large sticks with small sticks and grass. You know, like I said, it was a really neat formation. We found off the banks of the river. We found a nest between three trees that were like a large sticks that were put together that looks like a large bird's nest. But we believe that, you know, when he travels, he makes nests, but I think it maybe as a permanent home, he may have a cave or something like that. It really depends on the area.
The Cherokee have a legend that the moon came down and dropped off a Bigfoot to their tribe, and their tribe had taken care of it for many years. There are many reports where the people in the specific area will believe that Bigfoots are originating from the caves in the area. I think in this particular area, it's a lot easier for a Bigfoot to possibly build a shelter, or there are large, like 20-foot diameter storm drains running all through the city that run all the way to the Ohio River.
749-1444, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, talking about Bigfoot tonight. Hello, David, you're on the air.
Yes, the gentleman just called from Madisonville.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, Mark.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah, I'm one of the friends that were with him.
Oh, really?
That night, yeah.
And you said you heard, what Mark said is you guys were up in the woods, you heard him moaning or something.
Yes. Like he described, it's like it was swaying its head back and forth. But this whole area where we were in, as far as going back to where you were talking about the psychic feelings from it, when I was a younger kid going down the road with my parents in the car, I used to have a fear going down this road. And there was one lady that I've talked to about this. She's lived in this area for 33 years, and she says she's had scared feelings of going down that road, and she's also seen something. She couldn't really tell what it was, but standing up on the hill, real big, and she said it looked like it had a fur coat on, but it's just where she saw from the distance. She wasn't sure what it was.
What do you think it was?
I believe it was the Sasquatch that we've encountered. I mean, I've seen him during the day.
So you've seen him more than just that one time that you and Mark were camping?
Yeah. Well, we weren't camping. We were just going out to see the stars.
Right.
Mark and I have both seen it multiple times.
Really?
Yes.
Well, is he the same Bigfoot every time you see him, or are there more than one?
I believe there's more than one, because it's one's a little bit darker, and the other one's kind of light tan.
Like I said to Mark, Madisonville still seems like a very urban area to me. I mean, it's stuck there in between Walnut Hills and Hyde Park, and there's traffic, and there's people, and there's houses.
Well, where it's actually at, you know where Camargo Road is?
Right.
It's right there on Camargo, going towards Madera.
Actually, there's some very dense woods that separates Madisonville from Indian Hill, and this is some winding hillsides with some blind canyons, and this runs all the way over to the Little Miami River within a mile of the Ohio River, so there's plenty of woods for something to move in and out.
Okay, if you say so, I'll believe you.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to ask about him, or?
I just want to know what you saw.
Do
believe that he's a Bigfoot and not either a figment of your imagination, or B, a homeless person that's running around naked in the woods scavenging garbage for food, or
no.
Or an alien or something?
No, I've seen him multiple times. Like, I've been as close to about 50 to 100 feet away from him. The one time I was standing on a hillside up at Camargo, and he was down in the creek area. And they've got like small fish down there. I'm not sure what kind of fish they are, but he was down there messing around in the creek area as if he was going after them. as if he was fishing for something to eat.
I guess Bigfoot's got to eat something.
Yep.
Either fish or corn or deer. Deer pieces. Okay, well, thanks for your call, David.
Okay, thank you.
Talk to you. Bye. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. In case you just tuned in, we're talking about Bigfoot, and we got some Bigfoot experts here, and everything's going wacky. 749-1444. Give us a call if you'd like. We'll be here another 20 minutes, and then the flow is in the house.
Multiplying and they're walking around like friends, man. So I'm no better than the animals sitting in the cages in the zoo, man. 'Cause compared to the flowers and the birds and the trees, I am an ape, man. I think I'm so educated and I'm so civilized, 'cause I'm a strict vegetarian. With the overpopulation and inflation and starvation and the crazy politicians,
Kinks, Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, WAIF 749-1444. Bigfoot, is he real or is he a figment of your imagination? Is he a myth or is he fact? These are the questions we're exploring tonight with George Clappison and Jody Cook of the Bigfoot Research Society, and we're talking to Rob. Hello, Rob, you're calling from Erlanger.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, is there somebody there I could talk to that knows a lot about Bigfoot?
Well, that's why we had these experts come down. We have George Clappison and Jody Cook. Fire away.
All right. I was wondering, So Bigfoot, from what I understand, is supposed to be another branch of man, like a Neanderthal, or a different branch of man, and has he, over the years, the reason why he cannot be caught, or the reason why nobody can find him is because he's developed over the years some new sense or something like that, that he avoids mankind because over the years he's developed new senses, and that's why nobody can actually trap him, or because his new senses warn him ahead of time that we're coming, or that of our presence, so we can't really. And another question is, where are the remains? I mean, what do they do when they die? I mean, we don't have any evidence of them, you know, because we never.
Good God, Rob, we've covered this remains thing about a dozen times now.
So they
have. We'll cover it one more time, though, for you. Thanks for your call.
All right.
Okay, what happens to the remains?
The remains, I don't know if anybody's ever watched an animal rot in their yard, but it don't take 2 weeks for a good-sized rabbit to disappear completely. And in my opinion...
yeah, but these Bigfoots are supposedly 2,000 pounds and 10 feet tall. That's not a rabbit.
That's true, but with the predators that are out there, a hunk of meat will disappear real quick. Now, as far as a Bigfoot developing some other sense, according to the reports, there would be some indication that a Bigfoot may have some way of knowing that there are people in his area. There has been a number of what you might term paranormal type experiences with Bigfoot. I really don't like to speculate on it. What I do is I like to tell the whole story of what a person experienced, and you know, I'll tell you if they thought they, you know, heard Bigfoot talking in their head, I'll put that in the report. I'm not going to hold back a portion of the information just because it makes some people uncomfortable.
Well, it seems to me that just like any wild creature, whether it's a badger or a grizzly bear, kind of knows if there's people in the area. I mean, they have better sense of smell than we do generally, have better sense of hearing. And they know when we're there quicker than we know they are there. But, George, you found some trees that have been broken over, either struck by lightning, pushed over by a windstorm, or perhaps by Bigfoot. And you seem to think that perhaps they were pushed over by Bigfoot. Kind of explain the trees you found and why you think Bigfoot pushed them over.
Well,
Sasquatch.
One of the reasons I believe that Sasquatch was involved in damaging these trees is the number one, this trail that we were heading back into the area we were researching was locked. It was behind a locked gate all summer. It was not opened once. Number two, there were many, many trees above these three. There was a whole canopy of trees that covered the whole area around it. The canopy was full of dead wood. No lightning strikes were evident. No wind damage was evident in any other trees except these three. And how would the wind knock three trees down crossing a road? Two of them were broke vertically, one was broken horizontally. The two vertically broken trees are 8 to 10 inches in diameter, live trees. The horizontal tree was a good foot in diameter. The foot in diameter tree was 13 feet off the ground. The other two breaks were at 9 and 11 feet off the ground. I can't even imagine hooking a pickup truck to these trees and pulling them over. I think the whole tree would pull up out of the ground before it would break.
But isn't that even a little bit taller for the average-sized male Bigfoot? So this might have been a pretty large one.
Yeah, I believe this area was populated with a tribe of Bigfoot. I had some very startling experiences in this area. I was going out right around sundown and hanging out in this area till like 2 in the morning. Maybe two, three times a month all through last summer. And I go out with an infrared heat scope, and this infrared heat scope tells me if there's any large animals around me. Every time I went there, I took a load of food. I left food for this Bigfoot. Every time I came back, the food was gone. The one time I had even taken a claw hammer and left it beside the food. The claw hammer was gone also.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444. And now it's time for us to be joined by our favorite hermaphrodite and transvestite caller, and that would be Blaine. Hello, Blaine. What do you make of this one? All right. I guess we're not joined by Blaine. But 749-1444 is the phone number, and we'll have to whip the guy that's screening calls about his head with a rubber noodle. And it looks like some of these, in the photos that you have, George, some of the trees looks like they were peeled almost like a banana in all four directions at once.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've talked to a lot of hunters who go out into the woods, and of course a hunter's not going to tell you that he went out and got scared. An outdoorsman doesn't tell you what he doesn't know is going on in the woods. A hunter will tell you about what he does know. But sometimes these guys will come to me in confidence and they'll say, you know, I had hunted in this area for years and all of a sudden I got so scared I couldn't sit in my deer stand anymore, I had to leave. And I asked them, I said, has this ever happened before? And they said, well, one other time, you know. And
well, why do these guys get scared? There are no known cases of a Bigfoot attacking a human or doing anything vicious.
No, and in a lot of these cases, there's no Bigfoot sighted. There's just an intense feeling of fear, and these people have to get out of the area immediately. Now, I can tell you that during my investigations, I have been overcome with the only thing I can tell you is it's just almost absolute terror that makes me want to take off running. Without having sounds or any Bigfoots around me that I can see, all of a sudden somehow this fear is put onto me, and it's not just me, because I've been out with four or five men at the same time in the daylight, and it's hit all of us at the same time.
We discussed right at the top of the show that Bigfoot and Sasquatch are found not only in the Pacific Northwest, where they're traditionally associated, but also, of course, here in the Miami Valley and Ohio and Indiana, Kentucky. What about in some of the more arid regions of America, like Arizona, or are they mostly where the temperature is more temperate?
Now, Bigfoot has been seen in every single state in the Union. Except for Hawaii.
Okay.
Except for Hawaii. Like you said, Missouri is the Mau Mau.
The Momo. The Missouri Monster. The Momo. He's one of my favorites.
By the Momo. Then, down in Florida, the Skunk Ape. And then the Falk Monster. And
in the Caucasus Mountains of the Soviet Republic, they have the Almasty, which has a very unique story surrounding it regarding how it has bred with humans and has made these little mutant crossbreed people. Have you heard that story?
Yeah.
The Almasty. That's the birth of the Caucasian race, by the way.
Well, they actually, they also have a name for it where they call it the Almiska. Yeah. That's up in towards the Siberia. But, I don't know. It's coming out of Russia, so, you know, you can't play too much.
They pursued that investigation as if they were looking at a relic hominid, basically a Neanderthal who had survived into the modern day through the desolate Caucasus Mountains. And there is some precedent for this research in that there are records with the Soviet Army of capturing these things. And there's also records of from different doctors who had documented one of these creatures mating with a human, and that they had had children that were covered with hair. And there's a lot of stories that come out of Russia. I can't vouch for any of them. I read as much information as I can and pretty much take it with a grain of salt.
Halls, you're on WAIF with Chris and Rob and the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group. Go ahead, Halls.
Hi, well, I just want to add to the information here, which is there is some information out of LL Research out of Louisville, Kentucky, and the book is called The Raw Material, and Raw is spelled R-A, and they also publish a book called The Book of One, Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Is that by Kenneth Sawyer?
It's Elkins is the author. And these are very obscure, but you can find them through through the internet, through a New World bookstore. And of course, it's basically that this is a type of a related, a primate type being that is related to humans that has survived from prehistory, and it is the one that will be able to survive the changes in radiation that will be coming to Earth at some point, and they will outlast us because of their ability to survive this extra radiation.
Pauls, you call the program every now and then, and every time you do, you start off moderately all right, and then somewhere you veer off into outer space, and you just lost us again.
Okay. Well, that's the best I can do for you, fellas.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Guys, did you understand one word he said?
Oh, he's waiting for the Great Tribulation.
Oh, like the end of the world and that kind of stuff?
Right. Yeah.
Well, the float will be here in 7 minutes. Until then, you got Chris.
And Rob.
And the Greater Cincinnati Bigfoot Research Society. 749-1444 if you want to get in on this.
Do Bigfoot and Sasquatch, one and the same, do they prefer hills or flatlanders? Do they like... And also, do they like it where it's very thickly wooded, heavy trees, or do they prefer more the grassy, open plain type of area?
I think basically their habitat is very close to water. I think they live along creek beds, along rivers. I think these animals live a lot closer to the water than most people give them credit for, because every single sighting has some sort of body of water involved. And when you think about it, if you were going to camp out for a while with your family, you'd need some water too. And I believe that most of the time when they're sighted, it's happened by accident, that these things are pretty much intent on remaining hidden from man. And I think when people go out looking for a Bigfoot, it causes the Bigfoot to be rather curious. I've often stated that you don't go hunt Bigfoot, you go out where he's been seen and he hunts you. And that's happened to me several times where I've been followed by something in the woods during the day. I've tracked it with my heat scope. I've seen the damage in the woods after I've gone in that direction. And I've heard him moving around. It's just I can't catch him.
Well, George and Jody, if Carl Lindner or the people at Synergy said, sure, we're going to give you guys a couple $1 million, take 1998, go get me proof of Bigfoot, what would your plan of action be? How would you get me proof of Bigfoot if I got a couple $1 million for you?
I got proof of Bigfoot for you. We're going to call him right now. We're going to call Bigfoot. See, it's ringing right now at Bigfoot's house.
Hey, St. Kong Blue, it's Bigfoot.
Is this Bigfoot?
Yes.
What are you doing, Bigfoot?
How much?
How much are cancer sticks tonight?
$1.98.
$1.98? Uh-huh. How much is cold beer?
Huh?
How much is cold beer?
We don't have cold beer.
You don't have cold beer?
We don't have warm beer either.
Do you have soda pop?
Yes, we do.
What kind? I mean, you got just like that tap soda, or can you get bottles and cans too?
Yeah, you can get bottles and cans and shit, yeah.
Magazines? Can you get magazines?
No.
No magazines? What about gas? Can you get gasoline for your automobile?
Yes.
Do a lot of people call you and think you're like Bigfoot, mysterious creature of the forest, or do most people know that you're a carryout?
No, you're the first one, actually.
Do you believe in Bigfoot yourself?
No, I do not.
Well, what's your first name, young man?
What do you want it to be?
How about Frank?
Okay, fine. Call me Frank.
Frank. Hey, so tell me, Frank, are there a lot of Bigfoot sightings there at the Bigfoot carryout in Bloomington, Indiana?
No.
No?
No.
Nary a one?
Nary a one.
Tell us, guys, are there ever Bigfoot sightings in North Indiana?
Well, it's my understanding that there's a Bigfoot on the front of the store.
Oh, like the Frisch's Big Boy, except they got a big...
It's also my understanding that Bloomington is not in northern Indiana.
No, it is not.
Well, where is it? It's in the middle of Indiana, right?
It's in a state of confusion, isn't it?
It's in southern Indiana.
Yeah. It's north of Ohio, and that's all I know.
Well, yeah, okay.
209.
What are you selling there, Frank?
Some cold lunch meat.
Okay, well, it's not Bigfoot meat, is it?
No.
All right, let him answer the question how they spend the million.
Take it easy, we'll see you later. All right, how would you spend the $1 million if you got it?
How would you find Bigfoot?
Well, the first thing we would do, definitely want to get it on the endangered species list and get it protected by the state. But basically, I mean, we'd go out into the areas that we've had most of the sightings, and you know, definitely stake it out, and you know, set up video and audio and
night vision equipment.
Yeah, just definitely get out there, you know, and find it. It's just, you know, if someone, we can get some backing, that's all we need.
So you wouldn't really need a lot of money for any high tech equipment. You would just need the money to do this full time and to spend your nights there.
We both have families. We work full time jobs. We can't sacrifice our living to go out and do this. If I could make a living doing it, I could find evidence of Bigfoot that would stand up.
And what kind of evidence would you want? Would you want the pictures? You'd want hair? You'd want the whole nine yards?
The lower jawbone?
I would come back with video of me and Bigfoot in the video together.
Eating corn.
Well, I don't know. It might be me running and him chasing, but
yeah. Tonight's edition of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show is brought to you by the Movies Repertory on Race Street downtown. Yep, that's right. Featuring independent, foreign, and underground films 7 days a week. Call 381-FILM for details and showtimes. And check this out, kids. This weekend, the midnight movie, actually it's at 11:45. The 11:45 p.m. movie this weekend, Clerks. Have you ever seen Clerks?
Yeah, I really like Clerks.
It's about a couple of irresponsible young kids, isn't it?
No, they're not irresponsible at all. They work.
Do they work at the Bigfoot carryout in Bloomington, Indiana?
No, they work at a video shop in New Jersey.
They're video clerks, not Bigfoot clerks. Well, thanks to George Clappison and Jody Cook from the Ohio Bigfoot Research Center for coming down to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show this evening. Thanks, fellas.
You're welcome.
And if anybody wants your book or wants to talk more about Bigfoot, how should they get a hold of you guys?
They can get a hold of George Clappison at 919 Forest Avenue, Franklin, Ohio, 45005. The books are running it for $15, and you'll enjoy it.
All right, thanks a lot.
When you catch a Bigfoot, will you bring him down to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show so we can have the world premiere?
Sure will.
The first interview with Bigfoot. Thanks, guys.
Take care.